Welcome first back person to the podcast. Turning your son to a funeral. To the had to start off with this today. Sorry. Talking about working in cubicles. It's a lot of stuff going on. But I knew the code. A lot of niggas debating my name. Just letting you know what side I'm on. Yeah. Numero UNO. Me and Jersey, this shit like the Super Bowl. Man, this shit then the biggest of.
Biggest the Super Bowl, but the difference is it's just two guys playing shit that they did in the studio. Niggas usually send their verses back to me and they be terrible just like a 2 year old. I love a dinner with some fine women when they start debating about who the gold. I'm like, go ahead, say it again.
Who the goat?
Who you bitches really rooting for? Like a kid that ass there from January to November, nigga, it's just too cold. Biggest what?
All right. We gotta be fair. I'll be fair.
Gotta buy my joint up for this bitch.
I'll be fair.
Mitchell.
I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah. Sticking to the code, all these hoes for the street. I put it in her nose, it's gonna make her pussy leak. Pussy niggas told ain't gonna wake up at this sleep. You can't hear that switch, but you can't hear them niggas scream. All my hoes do songs, nigga. All my hoes do coke.
What?
20 carat ring, I put my fingers down her throat.
What?
If I lose a carat, she might choke.
Alright, let's get to the.
Pop another bottle if you like that.
Alright.
These niggas talking out of their neck. Don't put no coughing out of your mouth. I'm way too paranoid for a threat. Hey, let's get it, bro. B.O.T. the money, power, respect. The last one is better. Say yes, a lot of goofies with a check. I hold them sentiments symbolic. My temperament bipolar, I choose violence. Okay, let's get it up. It's time for him to prove that he's a problem. Niggas clicking up, but pay not be legit. No 40 water, tell him. Yeah, get up with me. Fuck sneak this and first person shooter. I hope they came with three switches. I crash out like fuck rap. This Melly Mel if I had to. Got two T's with me. I'm snatching chains and burning tattoos. It's up. Lost too many soldiers not to play it safe. If he walk around with that stick, it ain't Andre 3K. Think I won't drop the location. I still got PTSD. Motherfuck the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Nigga, bum.
Hey. Hey. I started off. You already know whose side I'm on. I'm on that Drake. I'm on that J. Cole. But you can't hate on that. There's no way you can. I don't have the hate in me to give to hate on that. I don't have the hate. 10 out of 10 verse, cold, beat, crazy, Metro, crazy. The whole album, first listen, I thought it was trash. Second listen, crazy. This song, crazy. Now, for the people who don't know, Kendrick shot some shots at Drake, at J. Cole. And I need a response by the end of this week. Right now, it's Sunday, March 24th. Hopefully, we get something but before Monday. Doubt it. I need something by Wednesday from J. Cole or Drake. I need something by Wednesday. Drake cannot not respond to this. It's not. And I don't think it's even possible for that to happen. J. Cole, I know he's in the studio right now salivating, thanking God that he presented this opportunity for this feast in front of him. He's about to do something we have not seen from him. He hasn't been in a war. He hasn't been in a battle. We have not seen this from him. He is untested. But that's for a reason as well. Cause if you go to test J, your pen better be crazy. Better be ridiculous. And Kendrick's pen is good. So, an all-out war including producers, including top three, 21 on this side, 40, Metro, Future, Kendrick, Travis. It's getting juicy. It's getting juicy. No Diddy. No Diddy. It's getting crazy out here. I can't wait for this week. I need something to drop this week. I don't want no petty subliminals. I don't want no 2 minute. I want a 2 minute and 30 second song of just bars going at niggas' necks. At Kendrick. At Future. Somehow Kanye gonna find his way into this. He shoot at everything. Drake and J. Cole, I need this. The world needs this. This could be legendary. The top three going to war at the same time. I don't know if we seen this. Three? We seen two. Biggie, Tupac, Jay-Z. I mean, we seen top two. Arguably. Top three. I ain't seen this before. Haven't seen this. We ain't got some 50 Ja Rule. We ain't had a lot. Top three. Plus all the other storylines with Future and 21 and Metro and... Come on. I'm sorry I didn't start this podcast off with sports today. I'm sorry. It's this. I've been listening to this all weekend. Thinking about what's crazy. Crazy shit is coming next. Because it has to be crazy. I already know J. Cole coming with something crazy. I already know Drake gonna come with something crazy. I need it soon. I don't want to wait a week. I don't want to wait 2 weeks. I know Drake on tour. That means nothing to me. J. Cole is in the studio right now. He in studio mode. I need that. I expect J. Cole's before Drake's. And I don't want y'all to do it together. Not saying that was even an option. Don't think that was an option. But I don't want to see that. I want J. Cole to shoot at Drake too. Not no crazy. I mean, I ain't talking about nothing disrespectful. But I want to be the top. Drake in the way as well. If they don't, that is fine. But I need them to come at Kendrick. They need to kill Kendrick. They have to kill him. And Kendrick has to be ready. And kill, obviously, I'm not. I mean, we're talking about rap here. I'm not advocating for violence. He need to kill him. I need that this week. I need that this week. Preferably by Wednesday. You cannot wait too long on this. You cannot wait too long on this. And Future dropping another album tomorrow, I think. Monday. I believe. Monday or Tuesday. I need that. I know it's going to be some more subliminals on there too. I need that. This is going to be, hopefully by the next time you hear from me, we have a bar-filled song from Drake and a bar-filled song from J. Cole, and then a Kendrick response. You talking about a good week. And we can throw Future in there too. Can I get a Future song? A whole song just dedicated. I love it. This is beautiful. We haven't had this. And we definitely had to have it in a while since Pusha and Drake. That was the last real one. I know Nicki tried to create some with every female rapper that comes up, but I'm talking about real ones. Sorry. Had to start it off with that. Thank you for joining On The Low Podcast again. Your boy Low here. What are we going to start with today? I think today we're going to start with... March Madness is the biggest surprise so far for me. Kentucky. There's no way... Kentucky... I understand they were young. You cannot lose to Oakland. Kyler Perry has lost two of the last 3 years in the first round. That's unacceptable. Not calling for his job or nothing like that, obviously. That's a bit extra. But out of the first round, you're Kentucky. Like, you're part of... When you think about college basketball, you think about Kentucky. You think about Duke. You think about Gonzaga. Villanova. These are the teams you kind of think about. You're one of those. And you're losing two out of the last three years in the first round. Duke handled business. They're in the Final Four now. What's your excuse? Disappointed in Auburn losing? What's your excuse? I saw LSU women's team just won. Blew them out. Kentucky, disappointed. That's my biggest disappointment so far. I don't know what that was. We got to do better than that. We got to do a lot better than that. One other thing I want to start off with today. Congratulations to Aaron Donald on retiring. 10 years of nothing but greatness. He finished off with 3 NFL Player of the Years. NFL Rookie of the Year, 7 All-Pros, 8 Pro Bowls, 98 career sacks, 7th among active players. Aaron Gordon been good for a long, long time. Aaron Donald, I'm sorry, has been good for a long, long time. He will be missed. I'm glad I do not have to face him every year. Luckily, I wasn't in his division. He's never had a sack against Lamar. But the danger and the type of personnel you have to utilize just to stop him or slow him down. You can't stop him. To slow him down, it's draining. It's draining. You've seen the clips. 2 or 3, 4 linemen have to block him. One person, everybody else singled up. It's ridiculous the type of energy you have to put towards his side of the field, his side of the line. Congratulations. He left at the right time. Looks like he's healthy. Looks like his mind is right. He didn't have it in him to go through another training camp and do all the work. He didn't have it in him. And I respect that. And he had some money on the table that he could have got. But he wasn't money hungry. He didn't money grab. He wanted to end off as the best. And if you're having a conversation about best D lineman, he is up there with Lawrence Taylor. He's up there. He's up there. I love Sapp. He's one of my favorite. He's up there. So top 5 easy ever D line ever. So congratulations to him. Respect to him. He will be missed, not in the division, but respect to him. And today, another thing I want to start off with, other than football, I've been watching a lot of Dallas Mavericks lately. Yeah, I'm on board. 6 in the West right now. I'm on board. The chemistry between Kyrie, Luka, and the role players, they have won me over. Kyrie is playing phenomenal. Off no food, no water most of the time. He's going through Ramadan. Luka, always playing phenomenal. Young players, lively, playing phenomenal. Everybody's playing well right now. Maybe not Timmy. I've heard a lot of Mavericks fans calling for him to get no minutes. Make sure this get green in there, gritty. Just leave Timmy on the bench. Understandable. Other than that, the Mavericks, I want them to win it all. Will they win it all? Not yet ready to make that declaration. I want them to win it all. If God gave me, if he beamed down and said, hey, out this year, you get a chance to pick who's going to win the NBA championship. Who do you want? It's the Dallas Mavericks. It's the Dallas Mavericks. They've won me over. Now, I could never root for the Dallas Cowboys because that's just, I root for them I have three of my best friends. They're Cowboys fans. My girlfriend, she's a Cowboys fan. Don't know. That's God's sense of humor. But in the love of my life as a Cowboys fan. Dad's a Cowboys fan. It's I have a lot of them around me. So I root slightly for them sometimes. Either I root slightly or I'm indifferent. I'm a former Cowboys hater. I wish nothing but the downfall of the Cowboys every year. Have to change that sentiment. But I can't never be one of those. You can't see me in a Cowboys uniform and a hat. I don't know if I can make it there. Maybe I can. I don't think I even want to try, to be honest with you. It's not the players. I grew up with Cowboys fans, and it just rubbed me the wrong way a little bit too much. I'm sorry. I'm not blaming all Cowboys fans. I'm not making no big old grandiose statement. All Cowboys fans are horrible. But I've met a lot of bad ones, unrealistic ones, delusional ones, and they have rubbed me the wrong way and led me to believe you know nothing about football and you live in your head in a dream world all day thinking this magic is just going to come out of nowhere when it's not, especially when you don't change anything. Dak is still there, which he should be. Nothing has changed on this whole team but losing players. Armstrong, your starting center. You have to pay a lot of people. CD, Dak, your all-pro defensive end. You have people to pay. You don't have any pickups, any major pickups at least. Didn't go after Saquon, didn't go after Henry. You released Gallup. That was your major move. Very disappointing. And I know Cowboys fans are feeling like that right now. So they're not going to come at me for this one. For this one, they'll probably double down. Hey, you speaking the truth. Because Cowboys fans are pissed right now. With Jerry talking about how he's going to sell out and he's going to sell out for 2024 and all this and made not one move. Didn't make not one move. Adjusted Dak's contract a little bit to free up some cap. Release Gallup. Let two or three people go to Washington. Hey. I'm going to let it go. It's disappointing to me. If you can't go to Bellas Noches, where the hell can you go? If you know, you know. Okay. I'm done. I'm done with the Cowboys. You know, I'm gonna leave that alone. It was a lot of stuff going around. I saw a lot of posts. A lot of hate. I ain't gonna say too much hate. I don't want to be dramatic. Marvin Harrison, he didn't do the Pro Bowl. He didn't do the Combine. A lot of people have mixed feelings about that. Me, I am happy we have a player who knows their worth. What am I going to the Combine for? What am I showing you a pro day for? I have 3 years of tape. Here you go. You know who my father is. You can ask people around Ohio State. How is he as a player? How is he as a person? You can do interviews. But I am not stepping on that field risking a torn ACL, this or that. I am guaranteed a top 10 pick. And 10 is being very, very, that's like, oh my God. The sun just fell from the sky. How did he get to 10? He's not going to get to 10. But that's as far as he goes. And he knows that. Most likely it's top 5. He's going to be the first skill position player other than quarterbacks to be picked in the NFL draft this year. Why am I risking anything? My stock can only come down. Run a 40 that people didn't expect. Maybe my vertical. We know what his game speed is. We know what his game vertical His catching ability, his catch radius, his ability to catch difficult passes, one hand, two hand, awareness on the sideline. We've seen all this stuff. So me running routes on air at the combine and the pro day is not going to benefit me at all unless I'm trying to go up in the draft, which I am not because I cannot go any further up. I am at my peak. I'm not going above Caleb Williams. I'm not going above Daniels. You might be above May. I think there's a high-profile left tackle out there that everybody's wanting. Maybe him. That's it. It's Marvin Harrison. Now, I do like Malik Nabers. Do I think somebody will take Malik over Marvin? Don't see it. Just based off the name, really, to be honest with you. The name and the height. Malik. Because you look at Marvin Harrison's play with Malik Nabers. Marvin Harrison has a longer resume, yes. But it's kind of like pick your poison. They both going to be number ones. They both going to be great. I think they both going to be consistent pro bowlers. I think they're going to be great. It just depends on what you're looking for. Now, me personally, if I had a team picking at number three. Oh, there go Caleb. Up. There go Daniels. I'm up. I'm on the clock. I was very hot. I was very hot. I started off very hot on Marvin Harrison. No diddy. Started off very hot. Malik Nabers is nice. He's nice. He's like, I regret I took anybody else in that draft class nice. Do I think anybody would regret taking Harrison Jr. over Nabers? Regret? No. Regret? No. I think it's like a style of play thing, preference thing, really. I think they're both like 1A and 1B, though. I think it's a lot closer than I thought it would be at this time of the year. That lot closer. Do I think Nabers will jump Harrison? Doubt it very seriously. But if it did happen, I still have Harrison not going anywhere below 10. That statement still stands. He is top five bona fide. He's been that since 2 years ago. Don't see him getting jumped. But Malik Nabers have a chance. He has a chance. A lot of teams reportedly have him number one on their draft board receiver wise. He has a chance. He has a chance. That's all I'm saying. I think I would personally, if I am the Ravens, I am picking Harrison Jr. If I'm the Ravens, I just use that as an example. Ravens, Harrison Jr. A team that would pick, I would choose Nabers for. Maybe Kansas City, to be honest. Kansas City. I think they could do more with Nabers. Seem like that. Philly. I see Nabers. The Bills, Nabers, teams like that. But we're picking at, I mean, apples and oranges. I mean, we're just. You get either one of these players, Harrison Jr. or Nabers, you are set at the number one wide receiver position. You're done. You put them right there, you're done. That's them. That's a consistent 1,000 plus if healthy, 5 plus touchdowns. That's that right there. They're sitting right there for you whenever you need them. That's what that is. So, it's pick your poison. It's whatever you want. It's on you. That's your decision. So, there was a report. Odell came out on Instagram and said he wouldn't be returning to the Ravens pretty much. Then there's a report coming out. I think he has a visit with the Dolphins. Don't love the fit. Don't love the fit. Don't force something, Odell. Don't force it. Don't force Kansas City. Don't force Dolph. I mean, you want to just live in Miami. But if you actually want to extend your career to play like 4 more years, 3 more years, I don't know if Miami's the place, to be honest with you. You will be wide receiver number three. You're not replacing Tyreek, and Waddle is right there with a great running game. You would be probably like the fourth or fifth weapon on that team. I don't like that for you personally. Not that I'm saying I think you should be that. That's just what it is. I mean, I think Odell can still be number one receiver, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns, if he's able to stay healthy every single game of the season, or at least majority, miss maybe one or two, and is able to play 75% of the plays. If he's able to do that, I think he can get over 1,000 yards, over 5 touchdowns with a decent quarterback. But that's not the reality we're living in right now, until he shows that he can still be that. And when I say that, healthy. He had a lot of little nicks here and there with us, with the Ravens last year. Healthy. Don't like the fit for Dolphins. If I had to give you a fit, thinking about this on the fly, we're not Buffalo. No. Buffalo would be a better fit than the Dolphins. Kansas City, I don't like the fit at all. Jaguars is a no. Carolina, hell no. Titans, hell no. I think the Bills, if you want a high-profile team, I think the Bills would be probably your best bet. They just traded Gabe Davis, or I think he might have been a free agent. He was a free agent that Gabe Davis left. He was their number two receiver, pretty much. I know they have another a receiver that took up some of them stats last year. I forgot his name. Of course, I forgot his name, but they have decent receivers, and obviously Stephon Diggs. But you can go into that and be the number two option on that team, and they will try to get you the ball. And you will get the ball as long as you can stay healthy. That would be a better fit than the Dolphins or Kansas City. I would like Buffalo for you. Even though I don't want you in the AFC, I don't want to have to play against you under any circumstances. All love for you. Putting all that to the side, Buffalo. Buffalo makes the most sense. Scheme-wise, personnel-wise, quarterback-wise, makes the most sense. If you really want to show you still the same Odell, I would go to Buffalo. I would go to Buffalo. That's just me, though. That's just me. So pretty much the biggest news story of the week, sports-wise at least, Ohtani. Apparently, there is some investigation going on. And people who doesn't know Ohtani, he's an MLB star, baseball star. I believe he just got a contract for $700 million with the LA Dodgers. He's one of them. 700 M's. One of them. There's an ongoing investigation because apparently a bookie was paid $4.5 million with Ohtani's money. When it first initially happened, Ohtani's best friend and translator said, "Oh, I made a couple bad bets." These bets apparently were not on baseball. Apparently, they were on different sports, or they had nothing to do with Ohtani, from the information I saw. If I'm wrong, please correct me in the comments. Reach out to me on Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Let me know. From what I saw, bets had nothing to do with Ohtani. But $4.5 million. Betting in LA is illegal. Sports betting, apparently. That $4.5 million was paid out of Ohtani's account. The first thing the interpreter said, "Oh, I told Ohtani I owed such and such. He was mad at me. Paid the debt off. That was it. He had nothing to do with it. Then apparently maybe somebody got in his ear and said, oh, I don't think that's not good enough. You're going to have to lay on this knife. You're going to have to lay on it. So the statement switched. Otani knew nothing about the money. He didn't even know the money was missing. He didn't approve a $4.5 million. The interpreter, his best friend, stole the money. Went to his account, stole the money, paid the bookies. Now, I understand once you get... He doesn't have this, obviously. He doesn't have the 700 M's yet. I think he's still on his previous contract. And he 4.5 is a lot for him right now. He hasn't started a contract with the 700 M's yet. And that's my understanding. So I understand you might be thinking, oh, 700 M's, what's 4.5? What is that? What is that? I don't care if I had $1 billion. If 4.5 million just came up unaccounted for, I will find out. And I will find out who took it. I will find out where that money is, and they will be fired. That's not what happened in this situation. When the news story broke, they got pictures of him and the best friend sitting there chilling, laughing. What everybody's theory is, he knew good and well about the betting. Maybe he wasn't betting himself. Some people even have, might be his bets. He knew full and well what he was doing. I don't know if I'm on that side. I need to get a little bit more information before I put that on him. Can't do that. Don't know enough about him to put that on him. I'm going to stick with the best friend. That was on him. That was him. That was his doing. But he knew. Otani knew. The first story was the true story. I don't even know if that was a true story. What? I'll say first is true. Interpreter, how you lose. Well, okay, let's start right here. The reason everybody thinks Otani knows is because why would a bookie or anybody even allow for that to creep up to 4.5 million for an interpreter who we know does not have that money? We know for a fact. Now, are they playing a long game? Oh, I know who you are. I know who your best friend is. I'm going to give you this line of credit based off who you're right next to. I don't know if they would have did that without some type of conversation with the best friend, the interpreter. Oh, whatever I owe, you just saw he got 700 M's. Nigga, what are you talking about? You talking about 4.5? I throw some crumbs at you in a little bit. Stop begging, nigga. He got 700 M's. I'm his best friend. I'm his interpreter. And you talking about 4.5 million? What are you talking about? And that's 700 M's without endorsements. What are we saying? You're hassling me over 4.5 million? Give me this line of credit. Allow me to make these bets. I will pay whatever it is off. Look at this. You see him? 700 M's. That conversation had to be had. I don't see you being able to owe him 4.5 million without that conversation being had, without some type of understanding of who I'm next to and what he will do if I do owe this money and if I'm not able to pay up. Definitely think that happened. Now, I'm not going to put on Otani that he spoke with the bookie directly and guaranteed this. Or verified it. I'm not gonna throw that on him. I'm not throwing that on him. But the best friend had a conversation. The bookie knew exactly who he was. Something else. I think there's another step somewhere that was another piece of information that just we're just not receiving. That's just missing. But I'm not going to put it on Otani that he knew about the bets beforehand, before, you know, the $4.5 million, and he paid that, paid off for the bookie. I'm not going to put it on him that he knew about it before then. Do, if I had to guess if he knew about it, I'm going to say yes. My opinion. Blind guess. Don't know any parties involved. I'm going to say yes. But I'm not going to throw that on him. I'm not going to throw it on him. This investigation is heating up. I, to be honest, I don't know what they can do to punish him. He just got a $700 million contract. What are you going to do? He's going to sit out? You're going to ban him for a year for gambling like they do in the NBA? That's what we're going to do? This is one of your prized possessions. LA Dodgers, 700 M's, one of the best young players in your organization. And when I say organization or enterprise, I'm talking about MLB, baseball as a whole. This is one of your best products, and you're gonna ban him for a year? That's like banning LeBron for a year. That's like banning Steph Curry for a year. That's what that's like. That's what that's like. Are they doing that? No, they're not doing that. I don't care who the commissioner is. I don't care who anybody is. Somebody told old boy, hey, you got to talk to your best friend. He got to fall on this sword. And whatever time he do, what it is, that's what he do. If he does time. I don't know. Maybe a fine. I don't know what his punishment would be. The second story, obviously, after I already stated, is he stole the money from his account. Now, if Otani doesn't press any charges, then I don't know if that goes anywhere or not. So it's a lot of questions that need to be answered. It's a big scandal. $4.5 million gambling. Come, how do you even do that? What are you betting on? How much is these bet? $100,000? Spread it across the board. Y'all be too greedy. Like, Lord. What is with the greed? 4.5 M's on gambling. Them Jordan numbers. Lord. I don't even know how that happens, to be honest with you. Don't have a clue how that happens. I know we're betting on other sports. What are we betting on? How much each bet? I bet 100,000 Steph Curry scoring 30 tonight. I'm taking an over or under on Golden State. What are we betting on? Apparently, the best friend also lied about what the college he went to. I forgot, UC Davis, whatever the college he said he went to. The university said we have no record of him. So it's a lot of stuff going. It's a lot of stuff coming out. A lot of stuff coming out. We'll talk about the updates once we receive any. But you know, nothing else happened as of yet. Let me make sure. Okay, and just a little section after the investigation. Just before 6 p.m. Friday, after 2 days of apparent contemplation, Major League Baseball announced that after gathering information about the allegations involving Shohei Ohtani in Ipaw, Missouri, its Department of Investigations have begun their formal process investigating the matter. The careful worded statement avoided the direct implications of Ohtani, the sport's biggest star and a recent recipient of $700 million contract with the Dodgers, was under investigation, but the league is expected to attempt to look into the scandal while Ohtani's camp pursues the charges against Missouri. Okay. Opinion just changed. So he is being charged. He is really having to fall on the sword because this is a lie. He did not steal this money. Let's just call a spade a spade. He did not steal the money. And he's going to take that charge. I don't know what that time's going to be, but he's going to jail. He's going to jail. 3 years. He's going to jail. He'll come back. Ohtani will take care of him after he come back. You did a good time. Here about $5 million for your troubles. Like you $1 million a year. That's probably more than what you was making. Would I go to jail for $1 million a year? Probably not. But it's not a bad bargain. Not a bad bargain. He has 700 M's. He can't fall on that sword. He can't. And the people around him won't allow him to either, probably. MOB is unlikely to place Ohtani under administrative leave. Not doing that. The IRS is investigating Mazzurro. $500,000 payments. And they may violate federal tax code. It's a lot of stuff going on. Ohtani hasn't addressed any comments, hasn't addressed the situation. It's very convoluted. It's a lot of stuff going on. And maybe it's less complicated for I watch baseball, but I am not all the way in tune with all of this. What different penalties you get for such and such, and I'm not all the way in tune for this. I don't know what the repercussions is for betting on other. I know they're saying it's illegal in LA, period. So, but I don't know what would happen to him. What sentence he would get? Would he banned for a year? He out for a year? I mean, I don't know. 2-3 years? I don't know. He's baseball's biggest star. $700 million contract. They are not about to do that to him. Not about to do it. Don't see that happening at all. And before I get to this show I want to talk about, I want to make a declaration. Everybody's been making the same declaration, so it's not anything groundbreaking, not anything crucial. Anthony Edwards will be or needs to be the face of the NBA. It's about that time. Anthony Edwards is ridiculous. He is the next MJ. He is the next Kobe. He is one of them. He is fun to watch. He has a great personality. His play on the court mimics that personality. Exciting in every way. Dunk on you. Block. That's crazy. Steal. Crossover. Game winner. What do you want this man to do? He will give it to you however you want. No diddy. He needs to be the face in the NBA. I think he will be. They just need to keep winning, and they need to do something in the playoffs this year. They're number three, I believe, in the West. They need to do something in the playoffs. You have to win two rounds. Win two rounds in the playoffs. Play well in the third. It's about that time. I'm not even saying you have to win a championship. I'm talking about play like you playing right now. Let's do that. Just play exactly how you playing right now and play that in the playoffs. It's over. Skyrocket. He up there in the sky. We got him one. The next. I tried to make him in 2K. He's so cold. I couldn't even make him. The next thing coming. I have him top five in the league right now. And I know a lot of people won't mimic that. I know a lot of people won't agree with that. I know. Maybe it's too early. Maybe I'm living in a moment. Could be. But I'm still keeping it there. The way he's playing right now, I might have him over names like Tatum. Names like, I don't want to. Embiid, we have to take health into consideration. Hansborough, it's some people I would take above. It's some people he jumping right now. It's getting dangerous out here. It's getting real dangerous. This man is young. This man is exciting. And he hungry. And he works hard, and he actually wants this. He wants to be the best player in the world. He wants to be named the best player in the world. He wants to cross you. He wants to dunk on you. He wants to play defense. He is actively trying to get better at playing defense, and it shows. Not a lot of young players are doing that right now. I was hoping Jordan Poole would try to do that since his offense is a little iffy right now. Don't know if he is or not. I was just hoping he would. I haven't watched the games because, as I already said, I'm not paying for the NBA. I'll pay for Madden Sunday Ticket. Not paying for the NBA package. Wizard or not on TV. He could be playing better defense. I do not know. I hope he is. I hope he takes that side of the ball seriously. Because when you don't have that O, that D is the next best thing. And that D creates that O. No diddy. So, just want to say that. And something very disturbing, very sad, it's just, this week, I watched the final episode of Quiet on Set. Now, for you people who hasn't watched that, that's a little short, I wouldn't say documentary, a little short series on Max about the days of Nickelodeon. We have, you know, the little Drake and Josh show, iCarly, those type of shows. We have those shows. And they're doing a deep dive on the behind the scenes and really about Dan, who created those shows, the creator of those shows, how he used to treat everybody, the people he had around. I want to start off by saying, I don't want to be harsh, but, and if you haven't watched it yet, this is a spoiler alert. Go watch it. Stop it here, because I'm getting some details that you're probably not going to know until the end. Drake's mama. Drake Bell, Drake and Josh, Drake's mama. First of all, it was a hint that the dad had custody of a son anyway, of Drake's anyway. That's a hint in its own. How many parents split up and you see the dad giving the child? In my personal experience, and what I've seen, what I've heard, haven't seen that a lot. Haven't heard that a lot. Very rare. That's one. You have a grown man trying to pin you against your ex-husband and get closer to your son, and you're too blind to see it because of the dislike or hate or whatever you're going through with your husband, your ex-husband at the time, with your divorce proceedings. Let's start this off this way. Brian Peck, I believe that's his last name. Brian Peck, he has a lot of jobs. Vocal coach, acting coach, he's all this within Nickelodeon. Dan hired him. Drake's dad asked his ex-wife for one thing and one thing only. He gave all Drake's money over to her, signed all the contracts she wanted him to sign. He said, "Only thing I ask of you is do not let Brian around my son unsupervised." He had a weird feeling. He saw some weird stuff. He made sure to keep note. "It doesn't sit right with me. He's off. Keep an eye on him. Never let Drake around him by himself." And what did his ex-wife do? He allows Brian to come pick Drake up because she doesn't want to drive to set. Pick him up, and then he'll call. "Oh, it's 10, 11, 12. It's a little late. He's going to sleep at my house. He's going to sleep at my house. This is a single man, no kids. No significant other, no nothing. This little 13, 14-year-old boy is going to sleep over my house not sleep over my house so he can play, you know, he can sleep in my daughter's room, my daughter slash son room. He can, my wife be here. No. Even then, I wouldn't let my son do that. No, nobody in the house but Brian and Drake. You're letting him do this consistently. You're letting Brian it's like an everyday thing. He couldn't get away from him because of this fucking mother. I'm not for trying to throw hate in. I'm sure she probably feels sad and horrible right now. Maybe she don't, but I would assume, hopefully, she feels like crap about this. I'm not trying to throw onto the pile, but what the fuck? Your ex-husband literally said one thing. He provided all the documentation, all the bank accounts, every single thing you needed, everything was in place, and he said, just don't let this one man around my child unsupervised, and you let him have sleepovers with him. What is going on in your head? Are you a pure idiot? Are you stupid? Are you a pure idiot? What is wrong with you? Kids should always be protected by anybody, but especially your parents. And the father had no clue, because when it came out that Brian was arrested, and it was all on TV, the father called Drake and said, I knew something was wrong with him. I'm glad they never let you around him. I'm glad we caught it before it was too early. That father had no clue, because the mama's an idiot. And usually in these situations, stuff be other way around. Usually it's the mama who's the more careful, making sure there's more safeguards so the kids don't. Usually it's the mama. That's why it's so bewildering to me. It's usually the mama, and the father just be trying to throw somebody. It's usually that situation. Not in this one. The father did everything he could after Brian intertwined himself in his relationship with his son, talking about, oh, he don't need to be your manager no more, getting into the ex-wife's ear, talking about he's messing this and this and this and this and this. And you trust a random man, not the man you've known for such and such years and created a child with, a random man who's trying to get closer to your son and rape him. You fucking idiot. Drake went through a lot of therapy, because there's no way I'd be sit up here being able to talk about that. I don't care how many years later. That's therapy. That's work. He worked to get better. Proud of him. All love and support goes his way. He didn't put a lot of work in. He's put a lot of work in. Dan, now, from what they've shown on the show, they didn't show any molestation or any accusations of molestation on the show. It was rumored that he got Amanda Bynes pregnant and he got Britney Spears' sister pregnant. Those were rumors. I don't know if they're factual or not. Those were rumors. But without even that part, we already know how horrible he is. We see show after show after show. And because he came up with so much of these shows, you can't, they couldn't afford to get rid of him. He had damn near 10 hit. He came up, created 10 hit shows damn near. Or more. That were doing great, not just well, not above average, doing great. But you're doing things like paying men full salaries and then making two women share one. You're doing things like that. Throwing out derogatory statements to this person and that person, and a jacuzzi with a 14-year-old on camera. Making Ariana Grande turn upside down and pour water on her into some sexual innuendo while she's a minor. Go watch it. It'll kill your whole childhood. But we need to know the truth and what these people went through. We already know these kids of Nickelodeon and Disney, how these niggas, they fucking them up. In the documentary, they found 4 pedophiles working with Nickelodeon kids. And that's just the ones they found. And there was another rumor that the lot manager, something manager, building manager, something, married one of the actors, but they started dating when she was the age of 16 and he was 39, in his 30s. That's another one. They're still married to this day. I'm not going to say the actor's name. I'm not trying to. But it's sad. You're supposed to sit here, protect your kids, and you, if my kid was an actor on Nickelodeon, or if they wanted to do that, that's, they wanted to pursue that, I am at, me or somebody will have eyes on them 24/7. And if you, 24/7, there's not a second out of the day I don't have eyes on you. You're not going to do that to my child. I understand parents, you know, they didn't know what was going on. I understand. But some of the stuff we're seeing on the screen, it should have raised some red flags. Everybody who watched Nickelodeon back in the day knew they had an obsession with feet for some reason. We all knew it. We was kids. We always saw feet. And why was they all on all these shows? All the girls was damn near half naked. They were underage girls, 14, 13, 12. They got bras and they got swimsuits on and jacuzzis, getting gravy thrown on. It's a whole bunch of stuff. This show lays out all of that. Now, I'm sure it's more. It's more to it. This is not all the information. Go watch the show. Go watch the show. It's ridiculous what they did to these kids. And probably still doing, sadly. Anywhere you have kids, there need to be certain safeguards. Because anywhere you have kids, guess what? Pedophiles will follow. Is that breaking news? Am I missing something? God damn. What is wrong with you people? Protect the kids. They're innocent. They cannot do anything. Protect the kids. Is that too much to ask for? Lord. All right, that's all I have for me today. We'll probably have some more free agency news next week or this coming up week. A little bit more stuff on March Madness. Might have some updates on Ohtani. I'm going to do a mock draft soon before the draft. We're going to go through that. We got some stuff coming up. Keep an eye out. Follow me on all socials. _TheReal_Low. You can find me there on Instagram. You can find me there on Twitter. And you can find On The Low Podcast on everything. At On The Low Podcast on everything. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, same thing on everything. YouTube, same thing. But that's it for today. Peace. Have a great week.